All right, we have a special. I can't even call Laura a guest anymore. Like, Laura is family. Like, Laura has been here so many times, and not only has she been here with us so many times, she's also sent us incredible guests. I'm talking about guests that take our show and put us on another level. So, again, this time the clap won't be so loud. I got the hang of this. But I want to give Laura a clap just for the things that she does for our show. And I don't even know if me and Slay and Ray have told her, but we can't thank her enough for all the people that she sends to us and that come on and just give us substance. Like, we actually have substance on our show, and it's all because of Laura. So let me give her another clap, and I think I got this, cuz. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That's my buddy. So, Laura, what I'm going to do is, which we never do, we always say, hey, Laura, why don't you introduce yourself? Because, but I actually memorize where you work. And I don't know your actual title, but I have that down. So you work for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, correct?
Yes.
All right, I got to give myself a clap, because this is it's like 4 years going, man. We've been doing this. And why don't you go ahead and just give our listeners a little information about yourself and what you do there.
So I'm the area director for the Capital Region Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. We cover 15 counties in New York State, so kind of starting at Columbia Green and working our way up the state until we hit the Canadian border.
Awesome. So you are here today, one, because we love you. You have the Out of the Darkness walk coming up, but I want to have a conversation with you before we talk about that. Is that okay?
Sure.
Now, I purposely played this song in the beginning. It's by Logic, and the name of the song is actually named, and I'm sure you know this number, and knowing you, you know the song, because you are always up on everything when it comes to this topic. But the name of the song is 1-800-273-8255. Can you explain to our listeners exactly what that number is?
Yeah, so that's the Suicide Prevention Lifeline number. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week number that people can call, obviously, if they're struggling themselves or if you're worried about somebody. And they can, talk you through that moment and then also give some local resources so you can continue to get the help that you need.
What do you personally in the organization feel about this song right here?
Well, you know, I've been reading a little bit about some of the things that have come out since that song has been released, and it's actually increased the number significantly, the number of people who have called the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. So it really is bringing awareness to something that, people may know about it or may have heard about it, but it's really, I don't know if it's pushing them to reach out, but really giving them another place to go to really reach out and talk to somebody if they're struggling. People find it, we've talked on the show before about that stigma around getting help. And so it's really, I don't know if it's, reducing the stigma, but it's really pushing people to know that it's okay to call that number.
Yeah. It's a good song. I mean, it's one of those songs that's so deep, because in the beginning he starts out saying, that he doesn't want to live. But as he progressed through the song, I don't know if he talks to someone, but then at the end of the song, he says that he does want to live, that he doesn't want to die. And I mean, it's a big song. And with the number in it, shout out to J-Mac. She put me onto the song. I just thought, like, having the number as the name of the song would just be, like, a great thing. And I thought people would use it a little bit more, so.
Right. And, people, it's a good lesson to learn about suicidal thoughts, is that they can often be fleeting. So it doesn't mean that just because you're thinking of suicide in that moment that it lasts forever. Yeah. And so sometimes if we can get a person to think of a reason to live and then get them the help that they need, they don't necessarily always want to die. It's kind of that pain in that moment, and they don't know a way out from, that pain. It's tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Intense tunnel vision at that time, but it can often pass.
Now, there's other songs, and I want to play just a snippet of this song, because this song is a really big song, and I've seen conversation about the song, and people are very upset about the song. But I want to come to, like, our professional, and you tell me what you think. I'm just going to play.
You're really testing me today.
I'm just going to play a little bit. Well, it's been a long time since you've been on the show, so we have new listeners. So I want them to really understand why we say, like, we talk so highly of you, because you are the best. So here's a little piece of the song. You probably heard it, but a lot of people are talking about this song, and it's from Lil Uzi Vert. But I just played a piece of it, yeah.
she looked me in my eyes. She said, baby, I am not afraid to die. Push me to the edge, all my friends are dead. Push me to the edge, all my friends are dead. Push me to the edge, all my friends are dead. Push me to the edge.
So, I mean, basically, it's self-explanatory what he's saying. I've seen a lot of mothers and on Facebook, they're not happy with that song. Can you explain, like, how could that be a positive or a negative of that song?
Yeah, it's the first time I heard this song, you're opening me up to new things. Just hearing those bits and pieces, I can see how it would be concerning. I think the last time we were here, we had a big conversation about 13 Reasons Why. And it's correct. That same thing, you know, if parents are concerned about what their children are listening to or what they're watching, we really encourage them to educate themselves and to ask their kids questions. You know, what do you think of that song? Why, you know, do you think I should be upset about that? What does that mean to you? And so it just kind of opens the door to have a conversation. And for parents to really learn how to ask their kids about suicide or depression or mental illness and, why it's important to have those conversations.
Okay. So when you first used to come here, we used to have these things and I would throw out myths to you and you would tell me if it was true or not and you would give us information on it. So I want to do that again. Once again, I'm just saying what I want to do is kind of get people to see, you know, the skills that you actually have. And this is a strong topic. And I really don't think we deal with it enough. You know, we try to get you as much as we can, and we try to give out the number, but this is serious stuff, man. And after I do these MIPS, I would ask you for some stats about, you know, just how many suicides or how many people commit suicide daily and stuff like that. You usually have those things on the top of your head. You are very good. I'm gonna keep saying that. So
every time I feel bad, I should just come here because you always build me up and make me feel so great.
No, because you are. I mean, we just got it because she's really good. All right. So the first one is suicides peak during the holidays.
So that is a myth. A lot of people are led to believe that that's true, but statistically, the highest suicide rate is actually in the spring. So February, March, we'll start to see an uptick through about May.
Do you know why?
There's no real statistical reasons why. There's a couple of theories around it. So one is that in the winter, you would think, you know, around the holidays, that's when people would be thinking about it more. But it's actually as spring starts to come and the weather's warmer, you see people starting to get outside and feel better. Except, you know, a lot of the times, 90% of the time, people have a mental illness. And if they have depression, just the warmer weather isn't going to make them feel better, although they think it should. So it actually spirals deeper into that depression.
Teenagers are at the greatest risk.
I don't know if it's the greatest risk. There's certainly, risk factors at all age levels. We know that a family history of mental illness puts someone at greater risk. We know that exposure to a suicide, especially if it's been within your own family, and especially youth who have lost a parent to suicide, puts them at greater risk. So there's certain risk factors, but we need to think about those for all ages, not just necessarily for youth.
Okay. Depression is always the cause of suicide.
No. So we know that 90% of time people will die by suicide have a diagnosable and treatable mental illness at the time of their death, although it's either gone undiagnosed or not treated effectively. Sometimes there's other things that play a factor. So it's very complex, and there's usually some intercepting factors that are biological, environmental, and they kind of all come together almost in the perfect storm to create the highest risk for suicide.
This one's not funny. It's a weird one, but whites attempt suicide more often than any other race.
You know what? You stumped me. I don't have a statistic on that. So we do know that there are certain populations that are at higher risk, but it's not necessarily, you know, we really look at all populations because suicide can affect everybody. It's the one thing where really everybody is susceptible to it. So there are, you know, definitely some cultural differences in that. You know, I know we've talked about that before, you know, on acceptance of getting help. There's religious differences and cultural differences. So, you know, certainly something to look at, but I don't have an exact statistic for you on that one.
Okay. Most suicide attempts fail.
Well, first, we never want to talk about a failed suicide attempt. We try not to use that language because the person's still alive. So it's not necessarily a failure. And I have had a couple people, I remember vividly, I went into this one place to do a program and this woman came up to me and she said, I've failed at my fourth suicide attempt. I've failed at everything in my life and I can't even get that right. So they had already felt like a failure. And so to say a failed suicide attempt just felt like another thing that they couldn't do.
Oh, man.
And I forgot what your even question was after I went into
Most suicide attempts fail.
So what we know is there's about 1 million suicide attempts in the United States each year.
Wow.
And of those, there's about 44,000 who complete suicide. So yes, the majority of people who attempt suicide can be saved and then go on to get help. And when we hear back from a lot of those, what we call attempt survivors, they talk about, you know, they use their story to kind of help others to know that, you know, they were able to get out of that, you know, that deep depression or that, you know, that feeling in that moment and get the help they need to really live a productive and successful life.
Okay. Suicide is more common than it was in the past.
You know, we know that the rates are continuing to increase each year, but some of that could be because we're getting better data and people are reporting it more accurately. And I think we're hearing about it more because we're getting out there and we're talking about it. We're starting to reduce the stigma. You're hearing songs, you know, being created about it. You're seeing more TV shows and things around it. So I think it's something that conversation is happening more and it's something we need more of. We just need to make sure we're doing it in a safe way.
Suicides can trigger copycats attempts.
So there is such thing as a suicide contagion or a suicide pod, which is a little bit hard for people to understand because we say the best way to prevent suicide is to talk about it. So then if we say, well, if we're talking about it, it's creating a contagion, what's happening? So a contagion is really when someone is exposed to a suicide and does not get the proper healing and what we call postvention after a suicide. So it most typically happens in youth situations. And that's why it's really important if there is a suicide in a school that the school follows some procedures and protocols to make sure that the students are getting the help and the healing that they need in a positive way. So we want to be careful how we might memorialize a suicide because that can lead to other people wanting that same type of memorial. So there's some safety guidelines around how you deal with the suicide, especially in a school. There are times when you can have a contagion in an adult population. Typically, you know, if it's a highly publicized suicide, like Robin Williams was an example of that. Where there was some unsafe reporting on the methods that he used to die, and it could have caused some contagions.
Oh, okay. Two more questions. Suicides are more common on the weekends.
I think you've asked me this before, and I don't remember, or I don't have a statistic on that. I think there is something about a day of the week that it is higher rate, but I'm not positive. Do you have that there and you're trying to trick me?
No. Men are at a greater risk.
So the highest rate of suicide right now are middle-aged men, age 45 to 54. So they are at a higher rate of suicide, typically because men will often choose a more lethal method. So there's less time to stop and get the help that they need. There's also some, you know, differences in help-seeking behavior. So men often feel like they are not able to reach out for the help they need because of the stigma that still surrounds it.
Cause you got anything or that you want to say?
No, you pretty much covered it. I'm just sitting here listening. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah. So, like I said, normally, and shout out to Slay Diddy, he's tuned in. Normally what we do is we don't try to stump her, but we just give her some myths. And it's for the fact that people can hear the actual information from someone who knows what she's doing. I can sit here and tell you guys whatever, but I mean, Laura is really good at her job. She's great at her job. And the reason why we have her here today is so we could talk about the Out of Darkness Walk that will be in Catskill this year.
Yes.
On September the 16th from 10 to 1.
Yes.
All right.
Coming up very quickly. Yeah. Also, you know, next week is National Suicide Prevention Week. Okay. So this is pretty good timing. And, you know, we appreciate you getting the information out there. The things that we just went through, all those education pieces, that's really what National Suicide Prevention Week is about. It's another time to really focus and talk about suicide, getting the information out there and really encouraging people to educate themselves and to get involved.
So let's talk about the walk. This will be our fourth year at the walk. So we've known you for 4 years. And I actually look forward to this walk. And the thing about the walk that I could say is that when you get there, I like the part where you can go pick these beads out and you can explain to everybody what the beads mean. But you could pick these beads out. So now it just feels like, you know, you can relate to people by the color of their beads. And it just seems like one big, really happy family. And the first part, you know, they have some presentations, some speeches. But the walk itself is like really mind clearing. You know, this is our second time over in Catskill. This will be our second time in Catskill. But it's a great walk. And will you explain to the people exactly about the beads and all the other stuff?
Sure. So first, just to explain why we're in Catskill this year, this walk has been going on for about 9 years, and it serves both Columbia and Greene counties. And so one of the ways to try to encourage people from both counties to attend is we switch the walk each year between the counties. So last year we were in Hudson. This year we're going to be in Catskill, and next year we'll be back in Hudson. We've already got the date set for that, so we're certainly planning ahead. And so when you arrive at the walk, what we're talking about is we call them honor beads. So they're the colored Mardi Gras beads that you would see, you know, if you went to the Mardi Gras. But each color represents a different type of loss. So if you've lost a child and you walk in, you would be wearing white beads, and you could immediately look across the field and see someone else wearing white. And it's almost like, you know, this immediate connection with that other person, because there aren't many other people who understand that loss like someone else who's lost someone to suicide. We also have green, and green is for people who struggle personally. And so it's a way for them to show why they're there. And again, that sense of solidarity in being able to say, you know, I struggle with mental illness or with suicidal thoughts, and I'm here supporting the cause. So everybody loves the honor beads, and it really is another way to connect people to the community. So it's funny to hear you say, you know, the word happy with the event, because everyone thinks that it, you know, it's really sad. And while there are undertones of sadness, because we know why we're all there, it really is such a, people, you know, leave with such a sense of hope and healing and peacefulness from, you know, doing the walk and being with other people who truly understand, and knowing that the money that's raised is really going to local suicide prevention programs free of charge in the community that can really help to educate and train people so that we can continue to battle this fight against suicide.
So we'll explain exactly what's going on Saturday, like how's the event set up so that everyone would know, like when they get there. And I think there's a registration, or you can register online, right?
Yeah. So after 4 years, you're an expert. You don't even need me anymore.
I just was practicing. I was like, Slay's not going to be here. I really got to hit this out the park. So
we have an online website that you can register for the walk ahead of time if you'd like. And that's afsp.org/Columbia Green. And that will bring you to our walk page that has a little bit more details and information and parking and all that. If you'd like to register ahead of time, you get your own walk fundraising page. You can put pictures, you can put your own personal story, and then you can put your link on social media and ask people to join you, walk with you, make a donation, anything like that. If you can't register online, if you decide last minute that you want to come, you can always show up that morning and register when you get there. You know, the money that's raised, like I said, it goes for research and it goes for the program. So, you know, while the walk is a fundraising event, it's also about awareness and community building and all those great things. There's going to be about 15 resource tables there. So local community organizations that can all provide services and things to you in the community. So you can pick up pamphlets, giveaways, all kinds of things as well.
Oh, okay. Kamal just told me to tell you hi, that he said hello. He's listening. So,
Oh, good. I hope we're living up to his standards.
Yeah. Well, I know we are, because he trusts us. I don't know, Laura. Anything else? What else is going on besides the walk? Because, I mean, I know you guys have the walk, but then what happens after the walk?
Yeah, so we have a couple of things coming up. The Saturday before Thanksgiving is always Suicide Survivors of Loss Day. So it's we have 6 healing conference sites throughout the Capital Region. And, again, it's another time that people can come together to talk about their loss. We have the beads there. It's almost like a support group in that you can tell your story, you can listen to other people, and then we have a film that helps people go through the grieving process. And then we have a research connection program. So as I said, the our organization is based on research, and so we're bringing in a researcher, Dr. Matthew Winterstein, who's going to talk specifically on youth suicide prevention. And so we hope that we can get some schools and some parents involved in that to learn a little bit more about how we can protect our youth.
Okay. Sounds good to me. So did we miss anything?
I don't think so. You guys are always so good.
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming to the walk and being a part of it. I didn't realize it's been 4 years already. So
yeah,
time really flies,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, we did 2 in Hudson and 1 in Costco, and this is our second one going over. I actually have. I was just looking. I'm like I keep a lot of stuff. So I actually have all three pins. I have all 3 pins, and I got all my beads and stuff that I had from each year. So I was like, I might wear all 3 pins and get my new pin and have all 4 pins on at one time. Because you get to get a pin when you walk in. Like, it's like a name tag. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, anyone who wants to join us, it's open to anybody. If you can't raise money or you can't make a donation, please come anyway. We never turn anyone away. We just want people there with us, spreading awareness and feeling, you know, that comfort and healing that goes along with all of this. So,
well, like always, Laura, you're always welcome to come back. Again, I can't thank you enough for all the guests that you send when you aren't here. We've built great relationships with them all. And I will be there. Well, I can't say that. I can say no, because I can't do a cause of action. What I can say is on September the 16th in Catskill from 10 to 1, Out of the Darkness Walk, Suicide Prevention. Laura will be there, and that's it. I'm limited of what I can say, but I could say it. It's hard. It's there's rules. So yeah, thank you, Laura. Thank you for coming, and we'll see you. I'll definitely see you on Saturday, next Saturday.
Great. All right, thank you so much for having me here.
Stay. You know, we have to do a photo because we have to prove that you were here with us. No, let me give you a clap.